Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. You guys know who I am by now. I'm Adrian Conway. I'm your host of this Rising Pod thing. Today, we're jumping into some fitness stuff because, well, I just released an episode kind of like highlighting some of my thoughts and opinions about leaderboard breakdown, particularly at the top of the CrossFit game. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, go back. It was the most recent episode I released for Rising Pod. In the form of a podcast. And today we're breaking down the queue. So, the Rogue Invitational is coming up this fall. It is, of course, the biggest off-season competition aside from the CrossFit Games. And the athletes are going to get set to try to qualify for some spots there. Now, I don't know exactly the details on how many folks they're taking. I want to say they took 10 last year and they or maybe not even 10, maybe like five. It was a small number because, of course, they reserve spots for invites from the CrossFit Games. So depending on how many invites that they give to the individuals that qualified and performed at the CrossFit Games, then they, of course, have a segmented amount of slots available for those that have the capacity to qualify through the queue. Now, the queue is scheduled to start, I believe, this coming weekend. So it's very exciting. They've released the workouts pretty darn early, in my opinion. So I think it's cool. I think there's some details that they haven't gone over in regards to what is not there and what is there. So they've got movement standards that still need to be announced. They've got the flow of the general test to still be announced. And then, of course, they've got how you need to submit your videos. And all of this is, of course, delayed so that they have an opportunity to regulate the time windows of which athletes are actually going to do, execute, and then send in and submit these workouts. But there's four of them. One of them has multiple parts, which is really cool. And so it looks like already out the gate, there's going to be a thorough testing that's going to take place. And these look fun. They also look fun. So I'm going to dive into these. This is the 2023 Rogue Qualifier Workouts. I'm going to basically lay out a little bit of the test and discuss my thoughts on it and perhaps some strategic considerations for the athletes that are trying to perform at a very high level. But nonetheless, workout one, challenge and scoring is... in 16 minutes, complete the following. You got 0 to 8 minutes to complete a buy-in of 200 double unders. That means as fast as you can accumulate the 200 double unders. Then in the remaining of the 8 minute block, you're going to AMRAP four clusters. A cluster is a squat clean thruster. The men's weight is 185 pounds. The women's weight is 125 pounds. The couplet or the movement that is going to make up the couplet for the remaining time there is 8 bar muscle ups. So again, 0 to 8 minutes, you're going to get through 200 double unders as fast as possible. Then the remaining time of the 8 minutes, it's 4 clusters and 8 bar muscle ups, as many rounds and reps as possible. Once you get to the 8 minute mark, there's going to be a cutoff there. You're done. You get to rest and or begin your setup, I'm assuming, for the next portion. So 8 to 10 minutes, you're chilling or you're kind of making your scramble to get set up. Of course, hopefully you've got a team of people that are assisting you do this. And then we're going to go minutes 10 through 16. You've got an opportunity to find a 3 rep max of an overhead squat. And this bar and the load can be taken from the rack. That means you don't got to take it from the floor and do the whole little finagling of getting, you know, to the back rack position, then overhead squat and do the deal. I am a big fan of that, by the way. I love when athletes have to take it from the floor and express that. We've seen that in regionals at the CrossFit Games. We've seen that recently in a local competition that I program for in the Iron Games. In fact, a couple of these Rogue workouts have a very similar flavor to some of these tests, which I'm of course, kind of tickled by. But nonetheless, what a great test. It says that athletes may make as many attempts during the workout as possible to get to their 3 rep max overhead squat. You got to be a little bit aware of how you feel, how you're going to utilize the 6 minutes, and of course, have a good idea of where you want to start and what an optimal weight for you to hit would be there. But overall, workout one, a great test of overall capacity, but also very high stakes on seizing the moment. And I say that because in this first 8 minute triplet, essentially, where you first have to buy in with 200 double unders, is that it starts to test with this automatic form and sense of pressure. And I really love that because to me as a sport, when it comes to CrossFit, we want to see those athletes who have the capacity to seize the moment at the highest level. Equal to that is that we don't often like tests or workouts that put such an emphasis on seizing the moment that we don't really also get to see an expression of fitness. To me, this is a nice balance between the two. So you're going to bang out your 200 double unders. I think some things to consider there are, you know, what's a big set for you? Athletes that really have the desire to go to the Rogue Invitational this year and qualify, they're doing these 200 reps unbroken. And if they have a trip up, they have a trip up, but intentionally they're not really breaking these up too many times other than to save their grip and just think ahead, but they could do 200 unbroken if you ask them to. So depending on where your capacity, as long as you're efficient with double unders, you might break it up twice intentionally, maybe at 75 reps, maybe at 150 reps and then finish. Other than that, your goal is to literally get to the barbell and the rig with as much time as you can. Now, these clusters are going to take place, and of course, they're going to be singles. The goal there is to remain smooth. When I look at a load like this at 185, 125, thrusting that load is not going to be a problem for these athletes, especially out of a squat clean, because of the stretch reflex and the rhythm that you can build out of the bottom of that. But once you get through two or three rounds, that's where the separation will begin in regards to work capacity. So the athletes are going to have more time than they probably realize, right? Probably 5.5 minutes or so minimum to work through this couplet. And the 8-bar muscle-ups are going to start to add up quickly. And it's going to actually affect the way that you press overhead, the way that you breathe, and the way that you drive through the bottom of the squat clean. I don't necessarily imagine the pull off the floor being an issue or limitation at all, or the grip really fatiguing much of what you do with the squat clean thruster because of the fact that it's going to be done as singles. But the bar muscle ups will get a little sketchy or a little hairy, for lack of better terminology, hard for a lot of the athletes, even those with the highest capacity, because of the fatigue that the clusters will build. So I love that test. I think that you have no choice but to meet yourself with your, I think it's a beautiful combination of some movements that there's some slight interference, but also the predominant amount of work that's taking place in the cluster is going to be lower body with the transfer of power to the upper body. And then of course we're hanging and pressing on the bar muscle up. But it's a great load. It's really a great load selection. And I like the 4 and the 8. Then of course you get your rest. And now we're into that 3 rep max overhead squat. I love that we're testing your ability to squat again after clusters and after cyclical bounding in the form of the double unders. I think there's a lot of lower body stamina that can be tested here with this. But of course, then we bring in the ultimate barbell strength measure in the overhead squat. Like, we're testing functional flexibility. And the onus here really has to be on your ability to stabilize the load. Yeah, you're going to be limited, probably some athletes, with their ability to get the load, jerk the load overhead. So it's not that we'll probably expect to see many 3 rep max PRs, personal best, from these athletes. However, if they're in good shape right now, and if their local muscle endurance is primed, I do believe that having 2 minutes of complete rest and then also a 6-minute window to accomplish this 3 rep max, if they're smart and intentional with having a secure lift out the gate, or how they even manage and negotiate the time, maybe getting a jerk in, putting it back, maybe getting a jerk in with one overhead squat, putting it back, and then hitting a set of three, and then hitting their next set of three, which is their big set of three, then I think they might be able to do well. But I know that there's going to be a bit of a disconnect for athletes who think they're going to sit around for 2 minutes, then they're going to load the bar with something quite heavy, and they're going to have success jerking it overhead and executing 3 stable squats. I would be pretty generous with knowing that I can seize the moment in 6 minutes to completely rest for 2, come into the 6-minute window, hit a solid but light jerk just to prime myself for getting the bar overhead and developing confidence there in my setup, loading the bar a touch more, getting another jerk in, maybe an overhead squat or two, and then I'm going to get into my first set, which is still a set I'm very confident in hitting, but it's going to act as a base weight so that then my next set of 3 is going to be the one that I know I need to hit, potentially a little bit more time to hit a PR or a weight where I can take a bit more risk. And I don't know, it's something that I have to hit. But overall, workout 1 is a beaut. I don't know who's behind the program. I'm sure that that will get released and it might be listed somewhere. So you guys got to forgive me. And now I'm seeing other details as I swipe up. Clearly, AC, do a better job at reading in the details. My wife would not be proud of me for this, but she's very used to this. I skip things over when reading all the time, and I try to get like what I'm most excited about or what I think the information is that I need to read. It's a terrible habit. Don't start it. But top 5 men and women are going to receive an invite to the Invitational in person. which I hope to be there. Haven't gotten any word if I'm going to be a part of the event yet or not. But I had a blast last year commentating and covering that from Media Side with Sean Woodland. So we will see. Nonetheless, workout number two, folks, is a chipper and a beautiful one at that. It is 4x 50 calorie row. I'm assuming clearly it's going to be the same for men and women. 50 toes to bar, 25 sandbag to shoulder, 150 pounds for the men, 100 for the women. 50 box step overs. Love this movement. It's devastating and brutal. 50 pounds for the men, 50 or 35 pounds for the women, 25 sandbag. And now we're working our back. This is an out and back style chipper. We're now working our way back. 25 sandbag to shoulder, 50 toes to bar, 50 cal row. Time cap, 21 minutes. It's interesting because clearly this is a typo and they can remove this, but it says athletes may take as many attempts during their workout video as they would like. Right. Just kind of funny. But look, workout two, you know, I don't, this is just straight up work capacity, right? Like I think that you can understand and see that either you got this capacity or you don't. The skills are pretty much out the gate at this point, right? There's not a lot of stuff there that's going to create an obstacle for athletes that really have the intention of qualifying here. Again, we're hanging from the rig. So this is something to be mindful of. Overall grip fatigue that will be built if you hit workout one and two close to each other or back-to-back days. You're going to do a total of 100 toes to bar and 50 sandbag to shoulders with the 50 box step overs that are also going to likely fatigue your grip because it doesn't designate right now where you got to hold them, but I'm assuming you're going to be able to hold them at the sides. I would be surprised if they throw at you guys that you got to do it in the front rack position. So from this perspective, I'm like, yo, this is a doozy. Here's the one thing I don't like about the workout. I want the calories to be different for women. I know there's a lot of back and forth on, you know, our CrossFit community. Our women have continually showed us that, there are strength adaptations and strength ways to test and challenge them, where they need to be more equivalent to the men. And I think that's true. I think particularly it's true, when it comes to like submaximal loads around what would be gauged as like 60 to 70 to 75% of a 1RM and how we cycle them, things like thruster, highly cyclical overhead squat, highly cyclical deadlifts. The closer we get to really heavy loads, I think they need to be different. And that's all a different discussion and something different that I've witnessed through coaching hundreds of athletes or thousands of athletes over the years. And of course, following.com and CrossFit, you know, it's about me being entrenched within the community and kind of looking left to right to see what's happening and what's optimal. But we saw this at the CrossFit Games where some of the tests were different for men and for women because the calories were the same on the ski erg. We're talking ski bags specifically. The women moved the load, but they just took longer on the erg every time. And I think we can make it very competitive. And I think a simple ode to making it even 42 calories to the 50 for men, or 40 calories to the 50 for men would make it more adjacent in time to completion. So that's just something that I think about. I think when I look at this, who's going to have the audacity to kind of not come out hard on the rower, but 50 calories is always something where it's like, if you just come out a little bit too fast just to come off and be the first one to toes the bar, typically it just smacks you in the face and it eats you up. Right. So I say like, who has the audacity to row slower is the one that's going to have the advantage. And then who has built the capacity for toes to bar? Because you look at this and you're like, hey, you can be gracious with how you break it up. But I can tell you right now that if you get too far behind in a test early, so you go 50 calorie row, 50 toes to bar, and you're already 30 seconds behind someone, and then you can't make up a ton of ground in sandbag shoulder overhead, or I'm sorry, sandbag to shoulder, unless people have blown up, right? So the athletes that did make mistakes on the rower, this is where it's really going to catch up with them on the sandbag, where after like 10 or 15 reps, their heart rate is spiked and they don't want to put their hands back on the bag. You've got to navigate the first half of this workout very generously. Be willing to be mid-pack or towards the back of a pack if this is a chipper where you're looking left to right in a group of friends. And then you go to work on the sandbag stepovers. And I say that because to me, the workout begins when you're about 20 or 30 box stepovers in. I'm getting caught up on my words today, so you guys got to forgive me. But you want to create a very steady rhythm here. 50 and 35, again, isn't going to be heavy for those that are hoping to punch a ticket here or be competitive. So these aren't going to take long. You can't break them up into a ton of sets. You've got to establish a rhythm and continue to attack. And when I say rhythm, however you get over this box, whether it's a crossover step or you pivot and turn every time, know what you do, and be consistent in doing it. Understand that you've got to kind of build urgency and speed through the back half of the test or the workout, and have the understanding that there's going to be a ton of separation that didn't exist within the athletes after the first 25 sandbag to shoulder, once you finish the second sandbag to shoulder. So the middle of that workout's for the meat and potatoes. Then you basically hang on for toes to bar and do what you can. And then, of course, it's a very dark place and a lonely one at that for the 50 calorie row that you will need to finish. But this is a great test. I'm excited to see some of my own athletes take this and see how it plays out for them. Let's go ahead and advance on to the next one. Let's open up slide number three for workout number three. This is three rounds for time, 50 dumbbell suitcase carry lunge. So that now indicates that the dumbbells have to be at your side. So again, grippy, 20 devil press, 50 and 35 pounds, grippy and hingy, and three legless rope climbs. What better way to throw in a legless rope climb? I'm assuming to 15 feet. I'm assuming that you'll be able to jump and not have to do an L-sit and not have to control the lower. That's just my assumption. Details will come out 8:25. But three rounds of this for time. Here are some no-brainers that I'm already applying. Look, if you're comfortable with hook grip, hook grip. Tape your thumb well, hook grip the dumbbell suitcase carry lunges, because any relief from your grip will speed your legless rope climbs. The 50 feet in itself isn't going to be heavy and hard. You're going to be moving quickly through that 50 feet. But just understand that most of the time is going to be spent here during the 20 devil press. When you think about the devil press, you've got to be really, really sharp with your execution. That means with 20, think about three rounds, there's going to be 60 of these total. What you cannot do is develop a rhythm that is comfortable for you and that you just want to maintain because it feels right. You've actually got to be the athlete that comes with the dumbbells from overhead locked out. I would encourage you to think about getting them to the shoulder, and from the shoulder, you shove them straight down in front of your toes. Versus getting them from your overhead position, swinging them back through your legs, and then swinging them forward. To me, that's a loss in time. Translate that, if it's a second every rep, that's 60 seconds or a minute within this test, because there's 60 total of those repetitions. Having the confidence and building that strength, stamina for your hands and your grip is going to be huge here. And that's ultimately what this is testing to me in this workout here. So workout number three is a doozy. I think it's going to be dirty. It's going to be more metabolic than athletes want it to be. There's not a lot of room there for standing around or waiting. The athletes that can perform at a high level that, again, have the desire to be top 10 or have an opportunity to qualify are going to need to be more aggressive than, of course, they prefer to be. Time cap here is 12 minutes. It'll probably be pretty generous for those that are really getting after it and killing this thing. So this is kind of be willing to go fast and take chances. And that's really what it's going to feel like, especially on the three last legless rope climbs. Another thing that's been a topic of discussion for a lot of my athletes at True lately is the value of really properly descending a rope. You've got to master this. You got to know what works for you specifically. And are you one with a legless climb can get to the top, quickly tap, lift your legs out to the sides and let go and let yourself drop, reclamp if there is a standard mark for you to regain control, and then drop down and be ready to go to work again, because that's what's going to separate you from the masses, if so. And then also be able to identify the differences. The same when you get to use your legs, can you use your legs in a fast and efficient way, release your legs, and then have the firefighter style descend down where you literally slide down, and do you have confidence behind that? Because if you're the one that's still having a sticky descend and it's slow, we've got 9 rope climbs here in this test, and that's going to really be a huge limitation for you. And it's going to fatigue your grip more than it needs to. So, yeah, we always got to train conditioning. Yeah, we got to train intensity, but so much of the limitations within these four workouts that have been released by Rogue are going to find themselves in the lack of skill development that exists within our community, and more specifically the competitive community. So, I love this. I think this is a really cool one. I think if you belong to an affiliate that has the rope resources to get classes doing this, it's a fun class workout. And I actually equal and say the same thing about almost each and every one of these three that we've listed so far. On to workout number four. What a couplet. Now, this is interesting because I've recently just programmed a true throwdown for some of my athletes that involves wall walks and snatches. Very similar stimulus to the CrossFit Open. This has an ode to that as well. Except instead of wall walks, which you'll have to do to get into the inverted position, you are doing now strict wall facing handstand pushups. This is a high level one, right? Now, here's what I'll tell you. We know Laura Horvath is going to get an invitation. She is the reigning champ of the Q, or I'm sorry, of the Rogue Invitational, and she's the CrossFit Games champ. She's going to get an invitation. She don't got to do this. But is this a preface? Is this an appetizer for one of the tests that's going to take place at the Rogue Invitational? And if so, is that a problem? We didn't see strict pressing inverted at the CrossFit Games this year, or a strict dip or anything like that in any form. So, you know, she's the queen. She's the reigning champ, but will this create a limitation for her? And I'm sure she sees a workout like this, like, okay, I'm going to attack this, because that would be smart to do in training, of course, when you're getting ready for an event, to attack some of the qualifiers for that event. But I know she's working on it tirelessly. Nonetheless, is this going to be a problem for you is the better question. So here's the way the workout plays out. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10 to 1 descending ladder, strict wall-facing handstand pushups. And you're going to do equal amount of snatches at those repetitions. The way this plays out is that you're going to do 10 strict wall facing handstand pushups and then you're going to come off the wall and do 10 snatches at 135, 95, 135 for the men, 95 for the women. Then you're going to do 9 strict wall facing handstand pushups, then 9 snatches at 135 for the men and 95 for the women. After those two rounds, the weight goes up. So for the rounds of 8 and 7 strict wall facing handstand pushups, you're going to do 8 and 7 snatches at 185 and 125. Then you're going to do 6 and 5 at 205 and 135. Then you're going to do 4 and 3 at 225 and 155. And then lastly, you're going to do 2 and 1 at 245 and 165. This is a time cap for 18 minutes. I love the way this is written up. I think it's very creative that we only make weight jumps every two rounds. I think it's an appropriate amount of volume for the barbell. It equals, it's 55 strict wall-facing handstand pushups. I mean, there's a lot of folks in our community that this isn't really going to be problematic for, but I think about long levered athletes like myself. I got long arms, and this would be a challenge for me. Those first four rounds, I've got to navigate in a wise way so that I can move well towards the latter portion. But here's where it equals out, right, is the loading. And I think it's cool that, hey, you're going to have to hit 11 snatches at 205 and 135. You're going to have to hit 7 snatches at 225 and 155. And you're going to have to finish with 3 snatches at 245 and 165. So if pressing is a limiter for you, hopefully you're strong enough so that you can get off the wall. Even if you've got to break up some of those handstand pushup rounds early and you get behind, that you have an opportunity to step up and make some plays. But overall, these four workouts are going to need to be done, I believe, in like a 3 or 4 day window. Athletes are going to have plenty of time to sit on them, to think about it, to game plan, to strategize now that the workouts are released so far ahead. If you're one of my true athletes, of course, reach out. Let's game plan this thing for you individually. But I just wanted to give my overall run through. I think it's a beautiful thing. We've got some very traditional yet creative workouts that exist here. You know, I love the way workout one plays out, which is the one I got pulled up right now on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube. But it's that 0 to 8 minute window where you've got so much happening. 200 dubs is a buy-in. Then you're into that traditional, you know, complementary movement style couplet. Then you're going to hit a little bit of a rest segment, which is fixed for you. And then you're going to get into the heavy lift for this qualifier, which is going to be a 3 rep max overhead squat. Then into workout two, again, as a summary, it's a chipper. It's a hodgepodge out and back chipper that involves a monostructural modality piece, gymnastics, weightlifting, gymnastics, monostructural piece. You love to see it. And then, of course, we've got a triplet, which is falling directly into our traditional class style format where it's three rounds of something that's going to take anywhere between 8 to 12 minutes. And here it's a great combination, again, weightlifting and into gymnastics. So again, we're getting plenty of variance here in regards to movements. The lunge is kind of like a squat. We see another unilateral appearance here because we already saw the first one take place in workout two, and that was the step overs. And then, of course, the outside of the box, quote unquote, devil press that exists, which where you're really making a large load travel long distance. And it's a relatively slower cycle rate, but appearing in pretty high volume in this workout. And then workout four, which is very creative, but another couplet of a gymnastics and a weightlifting. We get an ascending load. It's not light, but for elite level athletes, it's getting to that moderately heavy load. To be cycling it, it's pretty heavy. And to be under the duress of this, what we would categorize as redundant or interfering movement selection, right? So we've got strict wall facing handstand pushups. That means 10 times you're going to do a wall walk at least, unless you're breaking it up. You'll do more wall walks. You're going to do 10 wall walks and 55 strict handstand pushups. And you're also going to do 55 snatches at an ascending load where, you know, 11, 7, what's that? That takes us to 18. 21 of these repetitions is going to be above 205 pounds for the men and 135 pounds for the ladies, which I think is just a beautiful thing too. So we're definitely going to get some well-rounded athletes. I'm assuming that we're going to get some athletes that are coming from the team side at the CrossFit Games, gearing up to compete at this and try to qualify. We're going to get a ton of semifinal athletes that have now had the opportunity to freshen themselves up to go through one training cycle, or at least a portion of a training cycle, while they're watching their peers and competitors go on to compete at the CrossFit Games. They're hungry because they watched those tests go down and they became a little envious that they didn't get to show their tail at the competition floor. And it's going to be extremely exciting. But nonetheless, what a great and well-rounded program. Shout out to whoever threw these together. I'm excited. I need to take a ride, a couple of them for a ride myself, just to have a good time. And I'm excited to see what 5 punch their ticket to go to the Rogue Invitational, because we know it's going to be an exciting throwdown. Certainly last year was a show that we'll never forget. So nonetheless, hope that brings some value to you guys. I know we like to chat programming. We like to chat all things CrossFit in and out of the competitive season. I'll continue to throw some of these episodes into my podcast on the Rising Pod stream, just because it helps me vent, if you will. I have a deep passion for the sport, a deep passion to coach the sport. And of course, that's my full-time job, is to coach, to inspire and educate. But I love to kind of shoot it with the fans within the space as well. And be on the lookout for, more podcasts on the CrossFit Games YouTube channel, More Than Fitness. We're going to be getting ready to fire up a new season of More Than Fitness. And I got a new flavor that I want to kind of jump into. That's going to be a really fun way to reminisce within the space for the OGs that are around, and take us down memory lane. And of course, continue to focus on a bit of the future and where we're going as a company and as a movement, as CrossFitters. But nonetheless, hope that you guys enjoyed tuning in. Those of you that were interested and wanted to listen, good luck to everybody that's going to take these things for a ride. And if you're a true fitness athlete, go and take it, because no one is going to give it to you. Keep rising.